How we doing? Awesome. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
It's a good day. It's a good day. My name is Jake. I'm one of the pastors here. If you're visiting, we are glad that you're here. We have a lot to celebrate, and we're going to jump right into it. A month ago yesterday, I thought I was going to die. It was scary. There was a girl next to me that I didn't even know who was screaming. It was pretty frightening, but I'll tell you about that more in a little bit. It's supposed to grab your attention. I have your attention now. But yeah, when we're faced with death, it really makes us examine life more. There's songs written and movie plots and things that kind of bring down the scenario of if the doctor told you you had only this much time to live, how would you live it? How would you spend that time? I remember it was a country song. I can't believe I remember the words of the song, but it's talking about getting that news and then what he's going to do. Like he's going to go skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing. He's going to ride a bull named Fu Manchu. Like he had a play out. Like that's what he's going to do. But we can get bad news and it can change the way that we live. And today I want to give you good news that should change the way that you live. So turn to your Bibles, if you got them, to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. If you didn't bring them, I know it's Easter. You got your fancy clothes on. You're going to go to brunch. I mean, who would think to bring your Bible to Paramount? But we're going to look at John 20. If you don't have them, we're going to put the verses on the screen. And this is an amazing chapter. In this chapter, we see the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hopefully, that's not a surprise. You probably came here knowing we're going to talk about. But we see the resurrection of Jesus Christ in this chapter. Mary Magdalene kind of goes to the tomb and sees that it's empty. So in excitement, she runs back to tell the disciples and she tells Peter and John and they take off running to go see for themselves. And John's writing the gospel. So he includes in there that nice detail that he outran Peter, like he beat him there. And then they look into the tomb and they see it's empty. But the clothes that Jesus was wearing were folded, so good family devotional, fold your clothes, right, Jesus did, are in the tomb there, but they don't know what to make of it, and they go back, but then Mary's still there, and Jesus kind of reveals himself to her in kind of this unique way. She thinks he's the gardener, and then he kind of reveals himself, like, this is exciting, and like, she gets it, so she goes and tells them that he's alive, but it's like, how do you receive that news? And then he shows up to his disciples, except Thomas. Thomas wasn't there. And later on in this chapter, he shows up to Thomas because Thomas, what gets associated with Thomas, even if you've never grown up in church, maybe you've heard of doubting Thomas, like he was having a hard time embracing this news that Jesus was alive. And he says, unless I see him, I don't know if I could believe. And then Jesus shows up to everybody with Thomas there too. And he's like, how you like me now, right? And he says, you know, Thomas, stop unbelieving and start believing. Like there's this call to faith. Like you need to believe. And then he says, you know, you believe because you've seen me, but blessed are those who have not seen me, like a room like this, and yet still believe. And at the end of the chapter, John tells us why he's telling us what he's telling us. This is how the chapter ends. In verse 30 says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. That would be cool to find out. Like, what did he do that we don't know about? He says, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Like, this is why I'm telling you this, because I want you to believe, but believe in a way that is like life-giving, life-shaping, life-transforming. I'm giving you good news that should change your life. And I want you to believe in it, embrace it. And sometimes, especially in kind of middle of America, we can believe in Jesus the same way that you may believe that somebody in the grassy knoll shot JFK, right? Happened a long time ago. I got some evidence that I can point to. But believing that doesn't shape your everyday life. Like that information or that belief that you hold that makes no difference in how you spend your days or how you think or how you feel. It's just kind of this separated belief that you have. But John said, no, I have something that I want you to believe in that impacts your life. So maybe a better question than do you believe in Jesus is do you have life in Jesus? Like, is your belief in Jesus shaping your emotions and your actions? That's what we're after here. So John chapter 20, we're only going to look at three verses. I'm going to try to be quick. We're going to look at three verses. But I want to know what exactly is the good news, and what difference does it make now? So John chapter 20, we're going to start at 19. It says, on the evening of that day, so this is the same day that Jesus rose from the grave, that Mary saw him on that day, the first day of the week, so this is Sunday, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. So let me stop there because it's important for us to understand their circumstances. Their leader just got executed. They're like in trouble with the government. They're hiding out. Are we next? We don't know what's going to happen. So they have themselves locked in a room, hiding out from the government of fear. They're afraid. They're frightened. And in that situation, here's what happens. So on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. Now, let's examine this. The doors are locked, and then Jesus just shows up, and he's standing among them. Now, remember, John is wanting us to believe something about Jesus, specifically that he is the Son of God. Like, this isn't just any normal man, so let's kind of acknowledge the skills here. Like, the door's locked, it's closed, they're in there, and then Jesus is just among them. Like, he just appears. Like, this is a miraculous thing. He just shows up. Now, kind of a side note here, because our beliefs about Jesus have implications. Maybe there are people in your life that you feel like they're just behind locked doors because of fear, because of anxiety, because of worry. They're just closed off. Believing in the resurrected Jesus means that you believe that he can go where no one else can go, that he can go where no counselor can go, he can go where no doctor can go, he can go where no lover can go, he can go where no parent can go, he can go where no friend can go, in order to reach people. And they're in this locked room, afraid, and Jesus shows up, which probably doesn't help their fear. That'd be pretty freaky, right? You're kind of jumpy already to begin with, and then Jesus shows up in the room, and it kind of, this is what he says to him to help out here. So Jesus stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now this is important because in this chapter, three different times, that phrase coming from Jesus, "Peace be with you," shows up. And anytime when you're reading the scripture and you see things repeated, you're like, okay, let's slow up. They're trying to make a point here. And in this chapter, that's given to us three different times. Peace be with you. And here is the first practical difference that real faith in Jesus should make in our lives. Believing in the resurrected Jesus gives peace. And remember, he's telling this to a group of people that aren't too peaceful right now. They're filled with fear. They're hiding out. They've locked themselves in this room. So you could say it this way, believing in the resurrected Jesus gives a peace that is greater than challenging circumstances. So in their midst of this fear that they're kind of swimming in here and they're so scared of what could happen, Jesus says, I'm bringing you peace in these circumstances. Like, my peace that I'm giving you is greater than the circumstances you're in. He's like, I'm here to give you peace. And here's the reason behind the peace. So Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So as he's telling them, peace be with you, he's also showing them his hands and his side. Now why? Why are his hands and his side important for our peace? This isn't like some first century, you know, cultural practice that when you give greetings, you show people your body parts. It's like, how you doing? Here's my elbow, right? That's not, like, there's something he's displaying to them on purpose for a reason. So what's the connection between his hands and his side and our peace? So what just happened on Friday? Yeah, Jesus was executed. He was killed. And how did he die? He was hung on a cross. Like, he was pierced. They put nails through his hands, and then to check to see if he was dead, they took a spear and they drove it into his side. Like, he's saying, it's me. Like, look at these. And what you're seeing has everything to do with your peace. We know how he died. Do you know why he died? Because he didn't just show up on earth to kind of teach us things about life and help us to be nicer people, and then we kind of rebelled against him and caught him off guard and killed him. He came to die. That was the plan from the beginning. Like, he came as a sacrifice for sin, for our sin. And it was talked about long before he showed up. This is in Isaiah. This is Isaiah 53:5. It says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Like Isaiah's talking about that, like he was pierced and was for our transgression, and it brought us peace. And if his piercing was for our transgressions or our sins, like that's the reason that he's getting pierced or killed or chastised, is to bring us peace because of our transgressions. Our sins are the things that separate us from a holy God. Like a holy, perfect God is not okay with our selfishness, with our greed, with our insecurities, with our pride, with our lust. And those things will go punished. But who took the punishment? Who got pierced? Jesus. And that's bringing us peace. So if our sins are what offend a holy God, and he took our punishment for our sins, and it brings us peace specifically, he's talking about peace with God. In Romans 5:1, it says, you know, therefore, you know, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Like we have peace with God. You see how that is greater than their circumstance? Like they're hiding out in this room. Their leader just got killed, and they're wondering, are we next? And he goes and he gives them this news of peace with God, and that is greater than their circumstances. Like, what are they going to do with you? Kill you, right? And then what? You stand before God, but that's cool because now there's peace between you and him. Like, any way this unfolds for you, it ends well for you. Like, this peace is greater than your circumstances. So, a month ago yesterday, I thought I was going to die. I'm glad you laughed at that. I was feel loved. So, we were on spring break, and Johnny and Mo and I and my dad, we went to Universal Studios to have some good times, and we got on this roller coaster. Johnny's just like, she's never really embraced roller coasters, not the, like, you know, big people ones. So it was like, okay, there's one called the Rip Rockin' Roller Coaster. Does anybody know about that one? Okay, a few of us to get out. She's like, all right, this year I'm gonna go on this with you, Dad. It's like, all right, we're gonna go. So we go on this roller coaster together. It's the first time she's scared. We do it, and she has a blast. It's like, this is fun. It's like, I told you so. Like, you'd like it. Trust me. Trust your father, right? So we're going to, towards the end of the day, it's like, well, let's go again. But now Johnny's really confident. She's feeling good. She's like, this time I'm going to ride with Papa. So basically, Dad, you sit in the back. So we get up there, and my dad and Johnny sit there, and I go to sit behind him, and they go and they push. It's not like one of the bars that come down below. It's one of those that kind of go over your waist. And I kind of had my legs spread. I'm working on losing some pounds, but they couldn't shut it. It's not funny either. Like, it's and then he was like, I need to get you another seat. And I was like, no, I'm good. I just got to pinch the thighs. Like, work with me here. And he's like, no, I got to get you another seat. So I get up and go kind of in this special line for special people. All right. And they take off. But Johnny doesn't know about this. So when the ride's over, she looks behind and I'm not there. So she's like, did he fly off? My dad and his logic is like, well, the person next to him would have been screaming, and they seem fine, so I'm sure he's okay. And sure enough, I got in the next car. They put me in the next car, and I got to go in the front row this time. So it's like, all right, sweet, this pays off, front row. And they go around, and he pushes the thing down and then just walks past. You know how they do it? Like, okay, you're good. So I'm like, all right, here we go. And then I go like this. I open the thing, and it didn't latch. And I'm like, we got an issue. So he comes, and he just pushes it again. It's like, all right, fine, we're sweet. Then we start to go. And if you've ever been on the Rip Rockin' Roller Coaster, the first thing, it like goes straight up, like straight up. So we start to go. And right before we get to kind of the curve, I go like this. I wasn't laughing. And here's the crazy thing. Like, I didn't scream out for help in that moment. I wasn't like, wait, like, stop, I'm not buckled in, like, here we go. I was just kind of froze, and I remember thinking, like, this is it? This is it? This is going good? That's how it's going to go down? And I push the thing down as hard as I can, and there's a handle, and I'm, like, holding, trying to put my arm around it. It's like, I'm just going to hold myself in here. And we're going up kind of, and it's going slow. And it's just kind of, the fear's building. But I remember thinking, okay, I believe in the sovereignty of God. And if you're going to kill me on this roller coaster, this is how it's going to go down. This is what's going to happen. But I was so terrified. Like, this is it. Like, I'm about to go upside down and all the kind of around. And I'm not buckled into this thing. So I'm thinking, I'm just going to try to hold on as hard as I can. And we go down the thing, and we come up, and it corkscrews you right away. And as soon as we hit the corkscrew, I jump into my seat further than I would have liked. And it clicked. It was locked. I was fine. So I was like, okay, whew, right? I'm alive. But in that moment, like, okay, someone's glad I'm alive too. But listen, I really thought, like, this is how it's going to end. You know, the harness is the reason you can't have peace on a roller coaster. Like, I wasn't having fun until I knew that was loud. I was, like, holding on for dear life. And in a roller coaster, the harness is the reason that you can have peace. Like, put me upside down. Like, that's the point. We're going to have fun. And I can do that because I'm buckled in. And the reason you can have peace in life, no matter the ups and downs, is because of Jesus. Like, I'm Jesus in here. I'm locked in. I'm secure in him. They take me upside down. Whatever you throw at me, the ups and downs of life, like, I have peace because of Jesus. And Jesus not only took on death, he beat it. Like, the wrath of God because of our sins was satisfied in Jesus. Like, a holy God is not okay with our sins, and we're facing his punishment. But Jesus paid it. He paid it in full. In fact, in this moment where he's like, he's showing people, he's like, hey, have peace. Like, look at my hands. Like, look at my side. Like, you're good. I got you. I got you. That you are okay. Like, his hands and his side are the receipt of payment. I've taken care of this. That's the good news, that we have peace with God, that we were sinners destined for hell, and now because of Jesus, we're destined to be with our Father forever. No matter the ups and downs of life, like, nothing changes that. No matter the circumstances we go through, nothing changes that. Like, you could go into any circumstance and give that news, and it's still good news. Now, here's the difference that it makes now. Let's keep reading. It says, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Like, I don't know if they were glad right away when they saw the Lord. They were probably freaked out. But then when they see, like, no, this is our Savior, the one that loves us. Now when I see the Lord, I'm comforted because he's not here to destroy me. He's here to save me. And they have joy. They went from fear to rejoicing. And maybe that's a trip you would like to take. Like, I don't know. I know I'm full of fear. I'm full of anxiety. I feel worried. Like, how do I get to rejoicing? Like, I want to get there, but I don't know how to get there. And they got there. The way they got there was the hands and the side of Jesus. Like, they understood his accomplishment. Like, he has completely forgiven me. He has completely reconciled me back to God. Like, I no longer have to pay for my sins. I'm free. I'm at peace with God. Like, they understood what Jesus accomplished. You could put it this way. Peace with God means joy in life. Peace with God means joy in life. Listen, really believing in the resurrected Jesus gives a joy that is greater than our circumstances. I mean, they were in some tough circumstances. They were afraid for their life. And then they were glad. They were rejoicing. And the belief or the difference of faith makes is more than just emotional. It is emotional. It should cause us to celebrate. It should stir up joy in us. But it's deeper than even that. Let's keep reading. So then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. This peace with God is deeper than just a source of joy or a someday hope. It means a today purpose. Or you can think of it this way. Peace with God means purpose in life. I mean, really believing in the resurrected Jesus gives us a purpose in any circumstance. I mean, they're locked in this room, afraid for their life, but Jesus is saying, you have something to live for. You have something that life is about. You are not meant to stay locked up in this room afraid. Like, look at my hands and look at my side. You have something to do. Like, let's go. You have something to share with this world. Like, peace with God is possible. And it fuels their mission. Guys, here's the good news. And we got some celebrating we want to get to, so I'm going to get done. But listen to me. The good news is because of Jesus, we have peace with God. And you got to understand, how amazing that is. And if you're aware of your sin and the consequences of your sin and the destination that your sin puts you towards, then you know how precious and amazing Jesus is. That completely takes your sins away, makes you right with God, and gives you a new destination. The good news is because of Jesus, we have peace with God. And when we have peace with God, that means we have joy in life. When we have peace with God, that means we have purpose in life. Really believing the resurrection shows in a life of peace, joy, and purpose found in Jesus. Now, you got to get that. It's found in Jesus. Like, my peace, it's because of what Jesus accomplished. My joy, the source of my joy, it's because of what Jesus accomplished, and I have peace with God. My purpose, it's built around what Jesus accomplished. And the reason it's so important for us to realize that is because our world tells us lies about peace, joy, and purpose. Our world tells us that if you want to find peace, then you're going to find it in a healthy bank account, and you're going to find it in a good retirement plan. And you're going to find it in airbags and helmets and all those kind of things. That's where you're going to find your peace. And if you're looking for joy, then you're going to find it on a beach somewhere, or you're going to find it in the right relationship. Or if you're looking for purpose, then you're going to find it in your success, your prosperity. But that peace breaks so easily. It's so connected to our market, so connected to your health. I mean, that joy gets stolen so quickly. It could be taken in a moment, in one phone call, that joy could be gone. And that purpose will leave you so empty, because even if you find it, you're still going to be left asking the questions, is this all there is to life? Like, isn't there more? And the sad thing is, there are so many people who claim to believe in Jesus who are still buying into those lies. So just because you're in this room and you want to sing about Jesus, don't think you're okay here. And our belief in these lies shows up when all we really want from God is just for him to change our circumstance. That if you could just heal me, if you could just get me another job, if you could just get me this spouse, if you could just get me a different spouse, if you could just get me a different job, if you could just provide more money, if you could just heal me in this situation, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be at peace. Then I'll have joy. But instead, God gives us Jesus in our circumstances. He walks right through our locked doors into our junk and gives us a purpose in those circumstances. Brings us a joy despite those circumstances. Gives us a peace that's greater than our circumstances. And maybe some of you here are living in fear. You don't get yourself locked in a room, but you're living in fear. Afraid your marriage won't hold together. Afraid you don't have enough for retirement. Afraid you're going to lose your job. Afraid that cancer is going to come back. You're in tough circumstances. Listen to me. Your joy and your peace and your purpose is not going to be found in different circumstances. No one and nothing else can give you joy, peace, and purpose like the resurrected Jesus. And if you look for it other places, you will be let down. But if you have faith in Jesus, it changes everything. So if you don't know what to do with just Jesus person yet in your life, and you're here because somebody invited you, or you've just been coming for a while because you're looking for answers, I want to invite you to believe. To believe that Jesus is who he said he was, that he accomplished what the Bible says he accomplished, that his sacrifice on the cross is sufficient for your sins, that he is the reason you can have peace with God, and that by believing you might have life in him, joy because of him, purpose because of him, peace because of him. And if you're here this morning and you would call yourself a follower of Jesus, then I want to invite you to get your Easter on. Because we have so much to celebrate. We have a joy that needs to be expressed. We got something to sing about. We got something to shout about. We have peace with God. Our sins have been forgiven. And we have a purpose to live. We have something to share with this world. Amen? Amen. Pray with me. Father, we are so thankful for the cross, so thankful for the resurrection. Sometimes it's even hard to comprehend that you have beat sin, Satan, and death, that you are victorious, and our victory is found in you, that your victory is our victory. It's difficult to even comprehend that no matter what circumstances we are in now or that we will be in the future, this is always good news. You have set us free. So I pray we would live free, that we wouldn't just give you lip service saying we believe in you, but we would have life in you. And the fact that you are alive is our peace. We know that we're right with our Father because of you. The fact that you are alive is our joy. The fact that you are alive is our purpose. We love you, Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen.